Red light and we should be on. Is that correct? There we go. All right. So Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and 10. For you were once darkness, but you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord. And as my phone rings, we will turn that thing off and make that stop. Cell phones are the bane. It's a great verse to walk through with campers 1 year at camp, and it probably for me has been one of the themes that's been most memorable in my own life, because it describes not only what we were, but who we are to be. And so there's something in there for all of us. So if we can just kind of look at the picture as a template for where we're going, you see in the upper left-hand corner there, there's a little Christmas tag for you. A gift for you, for me. It's ours. And you know what? In terms of gifts, there's all kinds. Went to UConn, graduated after 4 years, or thought I did, because when I came to graduation day and they handed you your diploma, all the guys are in my dorm. We didn't get our diploma. Instead, we got a bill for $17,000. What was that for? That was for all the damages that my fellow roommates caused. The nice thing was that that bill wasn't for me. And the reason why it wasn't was because I could see the direction those guys were going. My roommate was of like mind. We couldn't actually go to sleep before 2 a.m. on an average morning night because of the craziness that was going on. We were both trying to be A students. And so we just finally said, you know what? You can't do it. It's illegal, but we're moving off campus, and we're just going to commute. So we got an apartment in Willimantic. Fortunately, we had gone to the house mother and had her sign a paper that we had turned in our room keys on such and such a date, and all those damages happened after that date. Oh, you got that right. So there's different kind of gifts in life. And as we come this morning, at this time of the year in particular, realize that we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. That was God's gift to you. Can you get a better gift? No. Why not? Because it's a one gift that lasts throughout eternity. My dad went home to be with the Lord shortly. Some of you were down at the funeral. He had the gift of eternal life. We're going to see him again. In the twinkling of an eye, we'll all be raised. Those who are dead will go first, and then we'll be caught up together in the clouds to be with him forever and ever. For you, my $17,000 bill was kind of a negative impact gift. I think of another negative impact gift that came along when I was going to Bible college. I think I had a little bit of the devil in me, perhaps. I'm not sure what, but as we came back from the Christmas vacation, it just seemed like the thing to do, so we decided we would play a game with all the students that were coming back, and I would be sitting in a chair, there'd be an empty chair in front of me, and I would say, does anybody want to, you know, play rat-a-tat-tat, and you know, if you are successful, you'll win a $20 bill. So let's see if you can imitate me. And so, you know, we had a rolled-up newspaper, and, you know, rat-a-tat-tat, and they would, you know, do the same thing, and we'd go back and forth, and then I'd stand up and sit down, and they were mirroring this, and it was going back and forth. It was all really a setup for the friend of mine who was coming up behind the chair the other person was sitting in, and as I stood up and they stood up, he would slide a wet sponge in on their chair, and as I sat down, they sat down. Of course, everybody was in on the fun. It was quite the deal. But that was a negative impact gift. In fact, as I was graduating from Emmaus Bible College, at the graduation, the president of the college said, you know, it's been a great year. Let's all stand and sing, and I can't even remember what it was, but all I remember is as I sat down, there were five girls behind me who were laughing their heads off because they'd put a wet sponge on my seat. God didn't give us that kind of a gift, though, did he? No. He gave us eternal life. It's a positive impact gift. What does a positive impact gift look like? I had a man and a woman walk up to my wife and I and say, you know what? Don't even look at this. Put it in your pocket. When you get home, you can look at it. No discussion. Whatever it says, that's what you're doing. What kind of a gift is this? And my wife and I got home that night, and we found out that we had an all-expenses-paid Alaskan cruise that we were to go on with airfare included and the whole nine yards, and wow, absolutely amazing. Took my girlfriend up, who became my wife, to Inspiration Point in Bristol, New Hampshire, as I was working in the camp back when I was working under my dad still. And we were up there just kind of gazing down on the town and looking at it, you know, from the heights, and the lights would begin to come on. And that was always the best time to be there, as when night fell and you could see the lights popping on everywhere. And it was kind of a cool thing. And I suddenly leaned over and I said, "Honey, what is that thing over there? It's kind of like shining in the light, you know, from the stars. What is that?" And you know, wrapped in tinfoil over there, there's this little box, and I said, "Open it up. What in the world is that? Somebody leave something up here?" And it was actually my corny way of getting engaged to my wife, but it was for her. It was for her. And there are impact gifts that are like that. They're for me. They're for you. And the biggest one, the best one, was when he laid down his life at the cross of Calvary, so that you could have eternal life. All you have to do, whoever asks him, who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, "Lord, come into my heart, cleanse me from my sin." If you've not done that, the greatest gift awaits you, a life forever with your Maker. For you were once. Here's this gift for you. Do you celebrate that gift? Are you here on Sunday to celebrate that? Do you get up in the morning and spend time with him before you go off to work, go off to school? Do you celebrate the gift that you've been given? A relationship with him? When I started dating my wife, you couldn't keep me away. She went to school 7 hours from where I was. I thought nothing of going down there, spending Saturday and coming back, 7 hours down, 7 hours back. It was no big deal. What do I have to do to go see God? I don't have to die. I just need to pick up my Bible in the morning, open his word, and say, "Speak to me." And I'm not going to stop reading until you do. And I'm going to underline that verse, and I'm going to remember that verse. And hopefully you're changing my life as we commune together. My wife doesn't see other men now, does she? No. I'm her husband. And as we give our lives to him, we find out that he's the one that we serve. So we were once. Here lies, and there's a cemetery stone. I had Labor Day weekend one time at camp, and lightning struck. Everything on camp went out. It had anything to do with the dining hall, had anything to do with the office, and the PA system. We had no power. And this guy comes, this woman comes into the kitchen. I was cooking at the time, and she said, "You know, where is the office?" And I said, "You know, it's way over there." And she says, "Okay, I got to go." And I said, no, ma'am, it's locked. You're not going to be able to get in there. All the office stuff is over here right now, so whatever you need, I've got the cash register here, I've got everything here. And, you know, staff had mostly had to leave, and so, you know, I was wearing five hats at once. So I was not only a cook, I was, you know, the secretary, I was also, you know, the receptionist, I was everything. And so, you know, there I was, and, you know, she said, "You don't know my husband. He's in that building." And he can't be. She says, "You don't know my husband." And she just marches right out. So I'm thinking, what in the world's going on? So I run out the back door, and I run over to the Welcome Center, and I realize I can see through the glasses, I'm coming up the ramp there, that this was the old Welcome Center, I guess you would call it. It's where Carnelian is now, if you've ever been to Berea. And this guy is in there, and he is ripping out of the wall about 70 wires that all went to different places in the camp. And he's just ripping them out one at a time. And it's coming out of this big panel that, quite frankly, had taken us decades to set this thing up to make it work properly. And I said, "Sir, can I help you?" "No, but I can help you." And who did I meet? I met a guy who was the man for these submarines in the United States to become ultra-silent on the bottom of any ocean bottom, bay, wherever they had to go. His job was to make sure that when it came to communications, no communication went out that was not suppressed so that the Russians would not be able to track that sub. How did I meet a guy like that? A lightning strike. We're once playing football in the backyard Thanksgiving. My wife's brother, her other brother, her sisters, all of our kids, two teams. And suddenly, in this team over here, the quarterback, who is my wife's brother, drops to his knees, and we're going, well, we're talking, okay, so why is he whispering to them now? And as he sits there on his knees in front of them, suddenly he goes down on his face. Now, his son got very angry because they were behind by two touchdowns, and he felt like he was quitting. He didn't quit. He was already dead by the time he hit the ground. For you were once darkness, dead in your sins. That's who you and I were once, if we know the Lord as our Savior. What does darkness look like? Solar eclipse of the sun? Okay, I can deal with that. Some of you may remember some years back where up in the northern part of New England, power was out for about 4 or 5 days. It was after that that I bought myself a generator. Why did I do that? Because I didn't like living in the darkness. Solar eclipse can cause darkness. The sun going down can cause darkness. Power outages can cause darkness. No generators. But what else can cause darkness? My friend, this morning, if you're sitting here and you do not know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, you have not asked Him to come into your life, the Bible says that you are living in spiritual darkness. Why does it tell you that? Not to condemn you. Jesus didn't come in to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He came to offer to each one of us the light. So, spiritual darkness. Genesis 1:3. Darkness covered the face of the earth. But God created the sun. God created the stars at night. He didn't want us to live in darkness. So too, in the spiritual realm, the very angelic host were split. You had some who decided to follow Lucifer and were cast out of the heavenly realms. And then you had those who stayed with the Lord. In the spiritual darkness, what are we? Where are we? John 3:20 and 21 says, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Went out to visit one of the largest camp and conference centers in the country, Mount Hermon, out in California, just to see what kind of principles they operated under, to see if there was any positive impact for us at Berea. Had a great lunch with these guys. We were in this fabulous restaurant. These guys were treating me. I was just enjoying myself immensely. And, I was asking each one, how they got involved in camping, God's leading, how did it all come together? And this one guy said, well, you're not going to believe my story because I don't believe it myself. He said, I was a geologist at UCLA. And he said, I knew and I taught because I knew that this world was created by evolution. And he then went on to give several instances of how he persecuted those who expressed their beliefs in the biblical account. And then he said, God did something that changed my life forever. He blew the top off of Mount St. Helens. And when that explosion happened, those of us who were geologists couldn't wait to get up there, except we all knew that we would be fried if we tried to get near the site until it had cooled down, which took a couple of months to get to the point where you could actually go up there without any life-threatening injuries. So I took a group of the brightest students, and we went up there to validate and bring back to class the things that would prove that we were created through evolution. And he said, I was shocked to find out that in every sample that we brought back from Mount St. Helens, even though we knew that that lava had just been formed. Scientific experiments, no matter which one we did, all said that each sample was millions and millions of years old. He said, it woke me right up, and I realized that I'd been fed the lie. And suddenly, as I jumped myself into God's word, I began to see that the creation account made sense, because that lava was not millions and millions of years old. It had just been formed a couple of months prior. For you were once darkness, Cain and Abel. Abel was the one who lived in the light. Cain was the one who lived in darkness. Abel got the blessings. Cain got the cursings. In the spiritual realm, can you imagine this, that even angels didn't all believe in God? And there are some fallen angels. They now work with Lucifer, while those others are in the angelic side, God's side, are with us. John 3, verses 20 and 21 says this, "Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." So I ask you this morning, are you in darkness or are you in the light? The next thing that you look up there is you see that pig and that phrase underneath there, "but you are." You are what? You are light. You're not this. You're that. There should be a difference in your life. If you actually say, "Lord, I want to give my life to you. I want you to be Lord of my life." What should start happening? Everything in my life should now be governed not by what I want, but what he wants. And how do I find that? By spending time daily in the Word of God. A set time that, whether it's in the morning, maybe not, that's not good for you because you get up late. Maybe it's going to be in the afternoon when you get home from school. Maybe it's going to be at night. Whatever works, that's where you should be. But you are. There definitely should be a difference in my life. Interestingly enough, when I was first married, I followed my wife. After the first fall, we were separated for a couple of months because I stayed at camp. We had opened the camp for the first time the year that we were married to go on into September and October, but she was in nursing school. So she had to go back to Philadelphia, and I'm separated from her, and I'm up north. When I got down there to visit her, it was blissful, but I only saw her for a day, and I had to return to fill out my time at Berea. That was a tough time for me because I was away from her. But you know what? When I finally got down there and had a chance to live with her, my life was different. I had a lot of habits in my life that my wife said, "That one, that one, that one, that one, they got to go." And you know what? I wanted to please my wife. So that one, that one, that one, that one, all went. Parenthetical insert. Over time. It's very hard to change who you are. But if you've been given a new identity, if you have someone else that you now serve, I don't want to say that I was serving my wife, but we loved one another, and so we wanted to please one another. And so I found out there were a lot of things that I did in my life that didn't make her happy. And I found out that there were a lot of things in my life that I could have done that would have made her very happy. So what do you think I wanted to do? I wanted to make her very happy. And so I began to change the way that I lived because it was not just me anymore. That's my question this morning is, in our relationship with the Lord, am I pleasing myself or am I pleasing him? The fruit of the Spirit, is that what's being brought out of my life? Or is it the fruit of unrighteousness? As I examine the gift that he gave me, am I using that for him, or am I benefiting myself with the gifts that I have? And so there should be a difference in my life. It took me a long time to figure that one out, and I would say that probably about 10 years after I became a believer, I finally realized that more than anything else, what God wanted with me was time. He wanted time to talk to me. He wanted time to get between my ears into my brain and to say, hey, wait, you're not darkness anymore. You're light in the Lord. You're different. Things got to be changed. What good is light? When we were kids, sledding was a big deal. Lived on a hill, still do, where I am now, same place, because I'm living in the house I grew up in. And if you went down the end of the street and around the corner, you were going downhill. So what we used to do as kids is wait for the plows to come through, and you know, you'd get a stack this big on the side of the road, and it'd usually be about this wide, and we'd get a snow shovel out there that was just the width of our sleds. And we would dig a trench down in there about a foot down deep into this plowed snow. And then we would chisel out about every 10 feet a little cave. And in the cave, our mother never could figure out where her candles went to, but they were in those caves. And so we'd beg to go outside at night, and they'd say, how can you see? The moon's out. The moon's out. But we were actually had these matches hidden away, and we would light this little blazing path going down the street. And what a ball we had. It was phenomenal. Am I a light in the world? One of the elders at the Groton Bible Chapel grabbed me one Sunday morning, and he said, hey, look, I'm really in a bind here, and I need to ask a favor of you. He said, I'm here to this morning. I'm staying after because I need to interview the women candidates for baptism. The men have already been taken care of. The problem is that there's no elders' wives here that I can find, and there's no other elders, and we always will never meet with a woman alone. We'll always meet two of us or more together. And will you just sit in the corner? You don't have to say a word. Just sit there and be there just to, so that, you know, this is protected. And he just went right through. He had seven women that he was interviewing. The men had been interviewed the previous week, and he basically would just say, you know, tell me, you know, how you became a Christian. And you'd hear all kinds of answers, but fortunately for all seven, they were obviously very clearly had met the Lord. So the seventh one came in, and I did not recognize this woman, and asked the same question, so tell me how you became a believer. And she kind of turns around and goes, it's his fault. And I'm like, I don't even know who this lady is. What do you mean it's my fault? And turns out I had just plain forgotten her, but I was working my way through college at McDonald's on weekends, and apparently she had been told that when she came, watch out for that guy. He's a Christian. You don't want to mess around with him. And for her, she was on a seeking path at that moment. And so those words to her meant, oh, if he's a Christian, I'm going to watch him. And if there's, you know, I mean, do I want to become one of those? And apparently, thank the Lord, she only saw what God intended for her to see. And as a result of that, she became a believer. So, you are light where you are. Who's watching you today? And when they are watching you, what do they see? Or when they hear you, what do they hear? Is God transparently showing himself through your light? Matthew 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. Matthew 5, 16, let your light shine before others. 1 John 1, 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. For you were once darkness, but you are light in the Lord. How do you get in the Lord? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Am I reading his word? That's what changes me. That's the catalyst. That's what makes it happen. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 9. The light of the righteous shines brightly. If you're in the Lord, you will be a shining light to others. John 5:35 says that John was a lamp that burned brightly, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I came back from Philadelphia after a year down there with my wife, and as I came back, again, I wasn't certain after working at camp again for the summer and into the fall, what I should do with my life at that time. And there was a believer in the church who had tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, "Hey, I was asking around and found out you didn't have a job. You're just back in town. Would you consider working with me?" And so I did. It was a great experience. I learned so much, and as it turns out, I was able to be very helpful to him. But interestingly enough, while I was there, I got a call from McDonald's where I had worked previously, and they said, "Hey, we know you're working all day. We've already checked this out. And what we want to do is we want to ask you if you'd be willing to come for double pay, double overtime. Would you be willing to work nights? Our problem is that normal theft is about $50 a night on average, but believe it or not, we're losing over $400 a night right now. We have no idea how it's happening. And we know from your past that every time you've gone into a store, all that stuff has stopped, so we don't know how to deal with this. Would you please come?" And interestingly enough, again, I had not worked for McDonald's at this point in time. It had been a couple of years. And so I went in there not dressed up as anybody, not introduced as anybody, just a new hire. And they lost no money. And after a week, they just said, "People must know who you are." But you know what? They also knew as a result of that, that their theft was noticed and entirely stopped. My point is this, it isn't something to do with me. If each one of us lives as Christ wants us to live, that's light in the world. That's when darkness stops. So is my light still burning brightly today? For you were once darkness, but you are light in the Lord. And you know, I got to ask you, in the Lord, are you spending time with him each day? We're in church. You're not in the Lord. You're in the Lord because you personally, he is your Lord. And you can't wait to get up in the morning and read his love letters to you. You want to follow him. You want to imitate him. You want to make him happy. You want to put a smile on his face. Pleasing the Lord, for you were once darkness, but you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Eat, drink, work, play, sleep. Life should be more than routine, though. Should be. First fall, I already mentioned, my wife was in Philadelphia. The first fall, I went on into the September and October. My wife is back in school in Philly. I'm still at camp. What does living look like? I'm with my brother-in-law who had just, not yet my brother-in-law, but he'd become a believer. And as we spent time together, we just enjoyed reading our Bibles. And it was interesting to, when we did our laundry, because we were both coffee drinkers, women in town thought we were absolutely nuts as we'd bring a 60-cup urn in, set that thing down, go perking away. And as we sat there in the laundromat, people thought we were out of our minds, but we were living life. Got an invite, guy calls me up, same year, said, "Hey, you know what? We're going to go out sailing. We're going out in the ocean. We don't even know what we're going to eat. We're not going to bring anything. We're going to find it. You want to come?" So we just happened to be off. And so he went, and their idea of finding it was to find some vessel that they felt was returning to port that was a fishing vessel and ask if they could get something, you know, right off the thing. And so these guys managed to stop about six different boats and managed to get enough lobster for all of us to have a phenomenal lobster dinner that night. So here I am in a bay as we're cooking dinner. And I'm saying, boy, this is living the life. How do you live the life as a believer? Have you defined that for yourself? Do you have a song in your heart midweek? It's one thing to come here and sing on Sunday morning, but is he the one that you sing about and give yourself to? Live as children of light. How do children live? They make a lot of mistakes. I got a lot of spankings, I can tell you that right now. And so what am I trying to say? You never fully understand what your father wants, but when you screw up once, you should get it. Some of us take a little bit longer than that, but you know what? God is working on me, and he should be working on you. The question is, are you cognizant of it? Children of light. Only as we live for him, not for ourselves, not in anger, pride, or lust of the flesh, but for him, only then can we make a difference. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 12 to 15 will help illustrate that. If you wanted to read Psalm 43, verses 1 to 5, it'll even flesh that out even more. Who am I, though, to those around me? This is something I've never heard of before. I'm sure it's happened, and I've never seen it since. Right next to the camp was a family that had a cottage, the Pollard family. They had a collie years back. One morning they woke up to find the strangest thing going on, because here was their collie nursing four or five little baby raccoons. The mother apparently had disappeared and was dead, never showed up. But these baby raccoons, they nursed and grew them up and then finally put them out in the wild. But it was an amazing thing. We need to live as children of light. We need to nurture the newborn, or they will die. God wants us to birth new Christians, and then we have to disciple him. And then we need to find out what pleases the Lord. What does find out mean? Not one of my best days as a young man, but we were seniors in high school. Got out of teens and noticed that one of the guys had a girl in his car as he left. Two of them. And it just was not copacetic as far as the rest of us guys are concerned, and so we decided we need to follow that car. Well, it was a race around town, and finally, he managed to lose us. But we pretty much anticipated where we thought he was going to go. He had ended up down at the beachfront, and there he was, sitting on the beachfront with his girl that he had just met. And he was just starting to put his arm around her when five of us showed up. We were looking for him because we didn't want him to go where he was going. What's my point? Do I search for God that hard? Am I looking for him to find out what he wants me to do? As I sit here this morning, when was the last time I said to the Lord, will you steer me right or left? Do something to let me know that I'm in your will. Help me walk in your paths. Find out what pleases the Lord. Years ago was a guy that I knew who was a consultant for Christian organizations, and this guy had a brain that you couldn't believe. GM built a car. He was called in. Why? Because every time the car would get up to 60 miles an hour, bam, the car would shut off. No one touched the key. They changed the electronics. They did everything they could. Bam, the car would cut off. Couldn't figure it out. Spent many thousands of dollars. No way. So they hired a consultant. Guy made a lot of money on this deal. What he found out is that a guy had had an operation on his finger. And as he was working, placing his one piece into the car, because his finger was butting up against a piece of metal in there, he moved it a fraction of an inch over, and there was a tag attached to that. And what was happening is, because it was moved that much, once the car hit a certain speed, the wind velocity through there had certain lift patterns, was lifting this tag and throwing it over an air intake, which then shut off the car. They spent a lot of money over what? Somebody didn't do something Exactly right. What can I do for God this week that would put who I am and what I am in Him under His submission so that I'm now doing what I'm supposed to be doing so that I'm not causing these shutdowns in other people's lives? For you were once darkness, but you are light in the Lord. Find out what pleases the Lord. And so as I get my report card from the Lord, is the fruit of the Spirit evident in my life? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and the list goes on. Find out what pleases the Lord. Father, this morning, we want to please you. As we come to the end of one year and go into the next, we want to resolve to examine those things in our life which hold us back, which cause your name to be pushed down a notch. We want to eliminate those things from our lives. We want to live for you. We want to bring others to you. We want to be nurturers, encouragers, builder-uppers. Lord, may you change us into people who get an A+ on our spiritual report card because we love you enough to serve you the way that you ask. In Jesus' name, amen.